You may be seated. In Psalm 100, this is what it says. It says, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs and know that the Lord is good. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Pray with me this morning, church. God, we focus on You, Jesus. Lord, it's our attention right now that is drawn into Your very good and perfect presence, Lord. There is no distraction. There is nothing else, God. It is us bringing thanks and worship to You. And Father, I know this, that because of that, Lord, because we are a people, Lord, that are coming before You, God, with open hands and with open hearts, Father, with lives, Lord, that are completely laid out before You, Lord, I know that You are accepting us as an offering to You. Lord, will You take, Lord, there's nothing more that we can give except for ourselves. And so, Lord, as we give ourselves to You, God, I pray that You will take us the way that we are, God, that You will take us, that You will transform us, God, that You will accept us, that God, that You will put us into a different place with You, God, a place that gets into the very folds of Your garment. Father, there is nothing more that we want to do, Lord, than to be in Your presence, Jesus. Father, we want to smell You, God. We want to feel You, Lord. We want to know what Your love is, God, to be able to feel that warmth from You. God, this is what we desire. Lord, above all things, Lord, whatever this world can give us, Father, is nothing, God. These are treasures here on earth that mean nothing. They're dust, Lord, and they will fall away. The only thing that is good, Lord, the only thing that is right, Father, the only thing that we cry for this morning is just more of You. That's what I ask for, Lord. Father, will You give us more of You this morning? Father, as we continue in this time of worship, Lord, will You give us more of You, Lord? Whatever that may look like, Lord, however that may be, Lord, give us more of You. Jesus, we love You. We declare, Lord, our love for You. Touch us, Lord. Heal us, God. Make us a people, Lord. A people, Lord, that You have chosen to work through, Lord, to spread Your love to others. This is what we're asking for, Father. Lord, I'm praying also for the offering this morning. God, as we continue in our time of worship, Lord, as we continue, Lord, to give, Lord, all that we are, Lord, our entire lives to You, God, we know also that You've given a portion to us, Lord, to sustain us here on earth. And so, Father, with this offering, Lord, with this tithe, Lord, that we're bringing to You, Lord, that which is commanded, and, Father, an offering that we place on top of it, Lord, I pray that You will take it and that You will multiply, Father. I've already been given reports this morning, Jesus, on how You are working even in our midst, God, even the way of finances, Lord, and it blows my mind, Lord, because I know that it is nothing that we have done. It's just because we are a people obedient to You. So, God, I pray that You will bless those that give this morning. That God, that You will show them that just as You've said in Malachi, Lord, that You will take it, that You will open up floodgates, and that You will pour out so much blessing that they won't have room enough for it. God, bless this people, Lord. Bless this church so that we may go out, Lord, and do more of what it is for Your kingdom, Father. That's what we're praying for. In Jesus' name, I pray all these things. Amen. Amen. As our ushers come forward this morning, just know this, is that the offering that we take this morning, the loose offering that we take this morning, it's going to be given to missions, our World Evangelism Fund. It'll be given to our missions. So if you have a loose offering this morning that you would like to give towards that, then be blessed with that. Thank you, guys. You can go ahead.
I just wanted to give a kind of a personal plug for the Zone Thanksgiving Service. The guy that in the couple that is singing tonight, Larry Maddox, is a personal friend of mine. I've known him for quite a few years. He and I attended kindergarten together. Come on out and hear an old friend of mine.
Thank you.
my faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me, covers my sin each time I come into your presence. I stand in wonder once again.
Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Let me just say this about the, you'll see it in your bulletin there, but on the district zone service tonight. Just to reiterate what Don has said, that's 6 p.m. tonight at Grace Point. Kim and Kayla and I will definitely be attending, and just to be able to worship with music, with other members of our church family within the zone in the Church of the Nazarene. So 6 p.m. tonight at Grace Point Church of the Nazarene. I encourage everyone to be there. So as Kim and I were making our way here to Indiana even just a few short weeks ago, there was one thing that I had tasked Kim. You as a church had tasked me with a few things, and so I thought that what I would do is maybe delegate some of these to Kim. And one of the things that I had delegated was looking for a house for us. I figured that maybe a box wasn't be quite big enough for us. So I said, Kim, I said, I need you to look for the housing. I said, I don't want to think about it. You need to do that. And so she got on the internet and she began to look for a house for us. Now, in Kim's mind, she had an idea, and actually I didn't ask her permission, so I'm always supposed to ask permission before I say this kind of stuff, but I think it'll be okay. We just had an anniversary, and I took her out to a really nice dinner, so maybe that counts. But anyway, so Kim had her mind. She said, we need like a three-bedroom house, two bathrooms, and a kitchen that's big enough to be able to invite people over and do some entertaining hospitality type things. Now, quite frankly, that's fine with me. I could live in a one-bedroom apartment. She probably knows that. We'd probably be cramped, but this is what my wife wanted. So she would get on the internet, she'd begin to look, all right, and type through. And then she would say, hey, Terry, what about this one? And then she would show me a picture of it. Now, I wasn't always the most positive and supporting guy that you probably already have come to know me as. And so what the first question out of my mouth was not, hey, does it have three bedrooms? Does it have bathrooms and kitchen stuff? My first question was, how much does it cost? How much is it? Because, see, we've got a budget here, and we've got to make sure that we stay within this budget. And so now, if it was something that was within, you know, affordability for us, then my next question, I had a follow-up question, is where is it located? Because, see, in my mind, though she had something in her mind, in my mind, I had taken literally a map of Fort Wayne, and I put a pin right here at 4150 Stellhorn, okay, right here at Trinity. I put a pin there, and I said, this circle right here is the radius that we can live in proximity to the church. Because, quite frankly, I want to be able to look at my neighbors and say, hey, why don't you come to the church? We're only just about a mile or so from here. Now, this is usually how it went. We went through several houses as she looked them up and everything, and there was many times when I said, no, that's too expensive, or no, that's just not in the right place. I got to be honest with you, is that there were times, as Kim would describe this to me, and my thought is that, you know what? I'm never going to be able to give my wife exactly what she wants. And there's a peace inside of me, not P-E-A-C-E, but P-I before E, except I for C, P-I-E-C-E, P-I-C-E, I don't know, peace. I should never have gone down the road of trying to spell. Anyway, but there is a portion of me, let's go with that. There is a portion of me, I want to give my wife everything that she's asking for. I want to be able just to lavish her with all kind of stuff, but there's just something inside of me that says we're never going to be able to get some of those things. And at times, as a man, as a husband, I might feel a little bit less than. You know what I mean? Maybe some of you guys in here can maybe relate to that a little bit, is that you want to give your family something, but yet there are things maybe holding you back and saying, I just don't feel like I can give what it is that she's asking for. Now, let me just say this. Kim is not this needy person that needs a lot of stuff. The house that we live in right now, and she has made it literally look like home for us. But there's times also, there's sometimes when I would walk into churches and this feeling would sometimes follow me, because what would happen is I would go into, even specific as a youth pastor, because sometimes that's where you see the cutting edge kind of stuff, you know? I don't know. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But I'd walk into some youth rooms. We'd go to conferences or just visit or something, and I would walk in, I'm like, this place is amazing. They didn't have like a room, they had like an auditorium. You know, and then I would look and I would see they wouldn't have just one screen up there. Like literally there were youth rooms I would walk into. We would have five or six screens up here that would be able to play videos and motion and things and stuff and their decor. Oh, my word. It was so like advanced and just modern. It spoke to that generation when it came to maybe like their worship band, their praise team. I would look at them and I'm thinking, man, All those kids sit first chair in the orchestra. Not that my kids didn't, but my word, does God have some special hand of blessing upon these people, this group? Is this how I begin to measure what a church is supposed to be like? You know, because whenever I looked at the measuring stick, just like it was with the house, is that there were times when I would say, I do not measure up to what it is that I'm seeing. Now, I think that God would say this. He says, you know what? It's not about the decor. It's not about the music. It's not about what's happening on a property. Well, I believe what God is saying is, it's happening right here. So where is it inside of you that all this is occurring? God was telling me this. He says, what you're seeing is the outside of things. What God says is, I don't even look at the outside of things. He says, what I'm looking at is the heart. I'm looking at the praise. I'm looking at where it is that you were bringing this all to me. And so the question is this, if it isn't these decor and music type of things, then what is it that God desires for us? Jesus has something to say about this. In typical fashion, Jesus begins to use a story. Okay, Jesus talks in stories. We call them parables, but really they're stories. And the cool thing about Jesus when he tells a story is that every single story he tells, there is something hidden inside there. That if we just listen to the story on the surface, we just hear a really good story. But if we really dive into it a little bit, if we really begin to dissect what's going on, we hear not only details, but things that can actually change the perspective of where we are right now and where we live. There's stories out there. All of us in here have heard some kind of a story. It could be a verbal story that's been passed down to us that we heard about. It could be a written story in a book or something that we just love to read. But you know what I mean. If you dig into a story deeper than just the surface, sometimes those stories make you go, huh. I never thought about that before. I didn't see that before. And literally changes the perspective. It changes. There are stories out there that can change the course of the direction that we thought that we were heading, but it will actually change the course of our direction. There is one story that's just like that. Turn with your Bibles with me to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. And what we're going to do is that we're going to look at one particular story, but we're going to find that in Luke 15, there are actually three stories that Jesus tells that are just all encapsulated into this one chapter right here found in the book of Luke. All three of these stories, all of them have the same message because they are all honing us in to one particular point. It's probably one of the best well-known stories in the Bible. Listen, we know stories about David and Goliath. We know stories about Moses and the Ten Commandments. But we're going to talk about the story of the prodigal son. Now, before you jump too far ahead of me because it's such a familiar story, I want you to stick with me for a minute, okay? I want us to take a look at not just going through all the intricacies of what this story has to tell us. I want us to begin to really hone in specific to what is the mind and what is the heart of God. What could we find in this story that will authentically change the course of our heart to the course of the Father? Story begins in verse number 11. We are introduced, first of all, to three main characters. We know that there is a father and that there are two sons. Now, the younger son, we know that he just wanted more out of life. He was not satisfied where he was. He said, you know what? I feel stifled being here in Dad's house. Dad, you're a dad of great wealth. Dad, you're rich. Dad, you're loaded in today's terms, okay? Dad, you got some money. And here's the thing, Dad. I'm feeling a little stifled where I am. And the relationship that I have with you, I feel like I just need to break it off right now. But before I break it off, I'm saying that I need something from you before I go my own way. This boy wanted to experience life. This boy wanted to go out and to do something that was different than the way that he was living right now. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of get that. I kind of get an urge of a younger brother. Because see, when I was growing up in my house, I too had that same urge. It's about the time when you graduate high school or so, you know, 18 years old or so, and you get to go to college. What do you get to do? You get to discover, who am I? What do I believe? Do I live off of my parents' religion? Or is this the same God? You know, you have all these questions that begin to go through your mind. And so this usually happens to a young person. It's probably why Jesus used this parable, this story, because all of us in here, even today, can still relate to it. But anyway, so he goes to his father, okay? And he says, Dad, he says, I need an inheritance, all right? I need what it is that you have for me. And this is what the dad says. The dad says, that's fine, son. He says, I'm going to give you what you want. Now, really, we have to understand what this boy was saying. What this boy was saying is this. Dad, I want your inheritance. When do we usually get an inheritance? Someone passes away, right? So essentially what this son was telling to his father is, Dad, your money means more to me than even you being alive. Wow. That's pretty powerful right there. You have something that I want, Dad. It is not relationship. It is not your love. It is not your goodness. What you have is a material thing, and that is what I want. This was the attitude of this young man in this story that Jesus is telling. We see this, is that the father in this, he says this. He says, you know what? I'm actually, son, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to release you. I'm going to allow you to chase after what it is that you think that you want. In verse number 12 specific, an interesting thing here, it says this. It says that the father divided the inheritance, that he gave it both to the younger son as well as the older. Now, we don't have time to take that rabbit trail right there, but there's something involved with that, okay? But just know this, we'll put a page in there, we'll earmark that, and maybe we'll address that some other morning. But right now, we just need to know that both sons, that the wealth of the father was divided amongst the sons, all right? But the younger son, it says this, look at verse number 13. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says this, is that this son wasted all his money on wild living. This was the guy that was throwing the parties. This was the guy that would invite the girls. And if you think that that's actually off the mark, it's not, because we'll find out later that he was hanging with prostitutes. This is the kid, all right, that he probably had an entourage of friends around him. Why? Because they loved him? No, because he had cash. He was the guy that was buying the meals for everybody. Oh, I'll get that. I'll pick up that tab. I'll take care of that. Don't worry about that. He was the guy that you wanted to be friends with, because if you needed $100, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I've got that. And he pulls out a big wad of cash and just starts handing it out. Why? Because he's living life. Man, it's good. We're not under dad's control anymore. I'm doing what I want out here. But he's wasting it all on wild living. We all know how it ends, is that this money runs out. Things begin to go downhill from him. You can only imagine that so-called friendships that he had with all those people, most likely, they're gone now. Because it was never a real love. He was only providing something for them in a way of financial stuff. It was never a real love. There's never a real friendship going on there. Look at verse 14 and 15. It says this. It says, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. And he persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Now, we know that this is a Jewish boy. We know that from the Pentateuch, from the first five books of the Bible, we know that somewhere in Deuteronomy that it talks about that Jewish people, all right, that there are unclean things, or things that they are not allowed to touch, not allowed to associate with or be around, and pigs was one of them. Why? I don't know all the theology behind it. Maybe someday I'll do a study on that. All that I know is they weren't allowed to be around them. And so in this story that Jesus begins to tell, who's he telling it to? We're going to find out in a minute who his audience is. But when Jesus said that this boy went to be with the pigs, what Jesus is saying is this young man hit rock bottom. There is no further in the depths of humanity that he could get, this young man in his life, than where he was wallowing around with these pigs. Verse 16, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way. Verse number 16 goes on to say this. It says, the young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "Well, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father, and I will say, 'Father, I have sinned against both you and heaven, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" Can you hear the desperation in this young man's voice? Remember, we're talking about a boy here. This isn't some, you know, man that's married and what. This is a boy. And Jesus is showing that there's desperation in his voice. He's finally realizing what? I've messed up. I've messed up really, really bad. So the younger brother decides to go home. How'd that work out for him? Well, I think a little bit different than what he anticipated. The story says he anticipated to be a servant. All that he wanted was some food and some work. That's what he anticipated. But what happened? Jesus says this. He says, even while the younger son was coming back to his father, it says that the father saw him from a long distance. Now, was dad waiting for him morning, noon, and night? Was dad just sitting there just waiting, looking down the street saying, "Man, I hope he comes back. Man, I hope he comes back. Man, I hope he comes back." I don't know. I don't know. The Bible's silent about it. But what do we know is that he saw the boy from afar off. That tells me that the father was looking. He was paying attention. He was longing for him to come back. And when he saw him from the far off, what does the Bible say he did? That the dad ran to him. Dad didn't saunter and say, "Okay, here we go." Dad ran to him. That's anticipation. That's saying, "I love that boy. I love that kid. That's my flesh and blood. I don't care what he did back here. I know how he treated me. I know what he said. I know that he's the one that broke relationship with me. But none of that matters to me because that's my kid. That's my boy. And I'm going to go run to meet him." What the father didn't do? He said, "We need to make preparations." He hugs his boy. That's love. He puts a robe on his back, clothing, "You belong here." Puts a ring on his finger. The significance of the ring is that it's like a family crest kind of thing, is that a last name, is that you belong to me. So this ring I'm going to put on your finger, son, because you're not a servant. You belong to me, is what the father's saying. And he says, "You know what? Son, you may have thrown some parties when you were out squandering things. You've never seen a party like this, boy." And Jesus says in his story that the father threw a great banquet for this kid. This kid who did not deserve anything. Funny thing is, didn't expect anything. Needless to say, this son is overwhelmed. It was more than what he expected, more than what he deserved. My guess is that he was probably speechless. He's going, "I can't believe what's happening." As a matter of fact, if this is a dream, do not wake me up, because this is not what I expected. Why is that? Because the younger son, he expected a different reaction. And the story continues that we see an older brother. Oh, the older brother. I'm an older brother. Okay, I have a little brother. He's 2 years younger than me. And I like to think that I ruled over him. I told him what to do, and he had to obey me until he got bigger than me. Then that's a whole other story. But anyway, but what was the older brother's reaction? Honestly, listen, let's really think about this for a second. The older brother's reaction is probably more in line with what the younger brother deserved. All right? Let's read what his reaction is. Starting at verse number 28, it says this. It says, "The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and he begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing that you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even a young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back from squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing a fattened calf?' Exclamation point added by us. This boy looks at his dad. He's like, "Are you, Dad? You got to be kidding me. You've got this all wrong, Dad. Come on." Does the dad look at his older son? Does a father look at his older son and say, "Ooh, wow. I guess I never really thought about it that way, boy. I never thought about it that way. You're right. You have done all this stuff for me. And wow, you're right. Your brother did squander some things. So, man, I'll tell you what. We kind of had all this hoopla today, but tomorrow things are going to be different. I'll tell you what, son. I'm going to do exactly what you said." Is that how this story goes? No. Not even close, is it? Not even close. Not even close. What does the dad say? Verse 32, "We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." Now, for us, what does this story say? Listen, we're familiar with it. I get it. I really do. I get it. Moses, Ten Commandments, David, Goliath, Samson, prodigal son. These rank up there with what we know. We can look at this, and in our wisdom or in our knowledge of knowing what this story is about, we could say, this is an excellent example of the love of God. And you know what? True. This is an excellent example of grace and how God gives grace even to those that are far from Him. And that's true. But I think that there's a greater glimpse. I think what we are doing is glimpsing into the very heart of God. You know, really, the only reason Jesus is telling this story, we have to look back at the beginning of chapter 15. We need to see who it is that Jesus is talking to. In verses 1 and 2, look in your Bibles, verses 1 and 2, and we'll continue from the New Living Translation. It says this: "Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them." You want to know why Jesus told three different stories, one right after another? He wanted to show Pharisees that their category of sinful people, their category of people who are unlovely, their category of people who are unwanted, their category of people that were unholy and unworthy of being in their presence, those were the ones that Jesus said, "Yes, those are the ones that I'm going after." Jesus was trying to change a perspective. Jesus, who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to these guys. Yes, it's love. Yes, it's grace. But Jesus said, "I've got to hit something right in a bullseye." And Jesus is calling out a prejudice that is happening with the Pharisees. And it's against those who they consider unlovely and not even worthy about being around. The first story that Jesus talks about is this shepherd, and he has 100 sheep, and one sheep goes away, and what does he do? He leaves the 99 to go chase after the one. They knew what shepherding was back then, money and lifestyle and just sustainability. Left it all to go chase after one. Then Jesus talks about the story of the woman, and she has 10 pieces of silver, 10 silver coins, and she loses one. And she turns her house upside down. She still had 9 coins. Doesn't matter. She wanted to find the one coin. And then Jesus tells the story about this lost son. The Bible introduces the parable this way, verse number 11, to illustrate the point further. I like that. To illustrate the point further, because Jesus said, "You don't quite get it yet," to the Pharisees. So let me tell you again, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them a story. That's beautiful, beautiful language. The point Jesus was trying to make is that all three stories concern how we, followers of Jesus, respond to people who are lost. Now, these might be people who have never known God before, that don't know anything about Jesus, or they could be the ones that have known Him, that have lived in the Father's house, that have had relationship with Him. But for whatever reason, the world has said, "I've got more for you," and they've chosen to walk away. Think about it this way. If there was a Pharisee that had it their way, If God would have operated the way that the Pharisees thought that God operated, how would this story have been any different? Maybe instead of the father, if a Pharisee were to tell this parable, this story, instead of the father running out to get the son, the younger son, it would have been the older brother that would have ran out to him. And what would the older brother have said? You deserve everything that you've gotten. You've squandered. You've messed things up. You're the one that broke relationship. We didn't do anything wrong, the Pharisees would have said. You're the one. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. But we know the story of the younger son, don't we? He was at the bottom. The last thing that he needed was someone to point a finger in his face and say, you messed up. You know why? He knew it. He already knew it. No one else had to tell him. He already knew that he messed up. What if it was the older brother going there? You know what I think? If that story was turned that way and the older brother would have pointed his finger and said, you deserve everything that's happening to you, I think he would have said, you know what? I'm better off with the pigs. Forget it. I don't want anything to do with this. You know what? I was trying to come back, but obviously you're judging me and you're saying things about me. I already know that I'm a filthy sinner. I already know that I'm unworthy. All that I want to do is just be a servant in the house and maybe get some food. I'm just looking for something. But you know what, big bro? You're right. You know what? Forget it. It's not worth it. And then the kid would walk away, never again, ever again, to return to the fold. That's what I think would have happened if the Pharisees would have had their way. What can we learn from this story? What can we walk away with in this story that Jesus is talking about in this parable that will completely transform us and give us an understanding of God's mind and what he wants us to do as a church and what he wants us to do to impact a community? You and I both know, listen, let's just get down and be real here. We know people who do not attend church anymore, don't we? All of us in here know somebody that has walked away. For whatever reason, I don't care the reason, but they've walked away. My question is, as we pray for them, as the Holy Spirit beckons them, how will we react if and when they ever come back to the fold? It will be so easy because we know what they've been doing. We know what they've done. We can see it. It's written all over them. We know that doesn't matter. Period. It doesn't matter. I don't care what somebody has done in their past. If a lost child, all right, that God loves, is being brought back into a fold, then what Jesus is saying to these Pharisees is don't be the older brother. We know. Instead, what do? We welcome them. Come on. I know you've messed up, man. You should hear my story. It's probably what some of us could say in here. You should hear my story. Man, when I was your age, woo, I thought the church would burn down if I walked into it. But you know what? Welcome back. You know what I'm going to do? Jesus is saying, I'm going to put a robe on your back. You belong here. Put a ring on your finger. You're one of us. Celebration, we're all going to celebrate. Now, do we want you to keep wallowing with the pigs? Of course not. Of course not. We want you to feast on God. We want you to feast on this fellowship because it's good. That's what we want. That's what God's looking for. There may be people who might be completely clueless of who God is. They don't know anything about faith. They don't know anything about forgiveness. They don't know anything about love. If they were to come in here right now, perhaps there's even a guest in here right now, that you're looking at all this and what is very comfortable to us in this family, the music, the worship, the prayer, the offering, all this stuff that's very usual to us. To someone who's far from Jesus, this is a little weird, not sure how to react. But you know what God's saying? Come on. We love you anyway. We're not going to try to change you and bend you and make you into something that we want you to be. We do want you to be a reflection of who Jesus is. And so we invite you into a fellowship. We invite you into a friendship. We invite you into community with us. We want to be able to do life with you, to see these problems and issues and things that you're going through, and to be able to say this, you know what? I want to walk that road with you. Instead of patting you on your back and saying, hey, good luck with that. Let me know how it goes. Good luck, brother. I'll see you next Sunday. Now, of saying this, you know what? You're going through something right now. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I don't even know how to get you through it. I'm just saying that you're not alone. That's all people are looking for. They're just looking for somebody to say, do you care about me? Am I allowed to be here? You know, God challenged me. God challenged me. I'm going to talk really fast. God challenged me this week as I was preparing for this. God challenged me this week because on Wednesday, it was raining. It was early in the morning, about 8:30 in the morning. And I came out of my office and I looked down the hallway here, and I could see right out into the parking lot. And what I saw was two dump trucks and a front end loader. Okay? City of Fort Wayne was sitting out there. All right, they were getting ready to do some leaf removal or whatever. I'm telling you, as your pastor confessing it to you, that my first thought was, you got to be kidding me. I know how big those trucks are, especially that front end loader out there. I drove one of those all summer long. I know what they can do. If you turn too hard on a radius, you can completely tear up a parking lot. And my first thought walking out of my office and seeing that is, guys, no one gave you permission to be here. No one told you that you're allowed to hang out in our parking lot. What if your trucks are dripping oil, and I know that when you pull out of here that it's going to tear. All these things are going through my mind. The Holy Spirit said, Terry, 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 Terry. Terry, 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 Terry. Within a split second, it hit me. And I was the older brother. I'm like, man, God. Man, I'll tell you something, preaching is hard, but man, when God preaches to you during a sermon you're trying to prepare, hey, that's tough. So what did I do, all right? What did I do instead, all right? I went right back to that sunroom, and I ripped open some coffee stuff, and I put it in there, and I started making a cup of coffee because it was cold out that morning, on Wednesday morning. I put a jacket on, and I literally walked really fast out that door. Now, what did the guys expect as they saw me walking towards them? Probably what the younger brother was expecting if he would have saw his older brother. Again, I sat in those trucks. I know what it's like to be in there. When you see the owner of the property that you're sitting on come walking towards you, you know that, we're going to get kicked out. You know, he's going to come and yell at us, and we're going to have to leave. So I got halfway across the parking lot, and they started turning their trucks on. All of a sudden, it's now time to go to work. But anyway, they're turning their trucks on. All right, why? Because they want to leave. But I'm standing in front of the trucks. And I walked up to one of the drivers and said, hey, man. I said, I know it's cold out here and everything. I said, I just want to let all you guys know, two trucks and a big front end loader. I said, I got fresh coffee going in here. I said, any of you, I know you got thermoses and stuff. I know how you guys do this. I've done it. I said, you got thermoses. I said, I want you to come in, and I want you to fill up your thermoses. Well, of course, the guy's like, oh, no, we're fine. We're fine. We've got our own stuff. I said, then you know what? Anytime that you guys are working in this neighborhood, if you need to come in, use a restroom, take a break, get warm, it's going to get cold outside. I said, you're welcome to come in here. You're welcome to be here. Jesus challenged me this week, guys. At first, I was an older brother, and the Holy Spirit said, I will not accept that. If you're going to say everyone's accepted, then don't get mad about a parking lot. Man, that hit me. I don't know. We can build an amazing community here. This is a place where we can have close friends. This is a place where we can meet every week. But if we do not open our arms to those who are lost, to those that are far from God, then let me tell you something, then we're not doing what it is that God's calling us to do. All right? So what do we need to do? We need to be a place that offers forgiveness. We need to be a place that offers fellowship. We need to be a place that continues to be a place of open arms, because there are people far from God that do not look like you, that do not act like you, that do not smell like you, that do not do the things that you do. But they need Jesus. Will you link arms with them and say, join our fellowship, walk with us. Is this a church growth strategy? Are you trying to grow our church? No, I'm trying to get people out of hell and into the kingdom. And I believe that this is a place that says you are welcome here. That's what I believe. What would it take for this to happen? I think this really, really fast. What would it take to constantly think about those who are far from the Lord and anticipate them coming back? You know what? We have to become this. We need to become this. It's the only way that this church is going to fulfill the mission that God's placing before it. And that's to go find people that are far from Him. Because being a church that impacts this world is not about having the best things. The decor, the music, the stuff that I listed in the front. That's not what God's calling to be for the church. He says, you show me somewhere that has the heart of the Father, that loves those that are far from me, even if they've hurt you. You show me that place, and God says, I'll begin to fill it up, because there's plenty of prodigals out there. This is the very last thing. I want you to open up your bulletins. You should have gotten a bulletin when you walked in here. I want you to open up your bulletins. Everybody do that for me. In the bottom of your bulletin, there are three lines. Okay, I think it's on the inside page there. There are three lines. Everyone in here knows three people. Three people, just three. We probably know hundreds if we really start making a list. But three people who've maybe acted like the younger son. Three people who, for whatever reason, have decided that chasing the world is more optimal than chasing God, that this was the better option. This is what I want to ask you to do, is I want you to begin to fill those names out on there. Who are they? Is it a relative of yours? Is it a child of yours? Is it a mom or a dad? Is it a friend? Who is it? You know somebody. You know three. This is what I want to ask us to do, is that I want to ask us to commit. Will we commit? Will we commit for this week? God called us immediately this morning into a time of prayer, okay? Because there was a crisis going on. There is still a crisis going on. I still pray that you are praying, not just for Floyd and Lorraine, but for those who are prodigals out there that are lost. My question is this: when we leave here today, will we forget about what has happened? Or will the burden stay with us? Will those names stay with us? Because this is what I'm going to challenge us to do. I want you to pray about it. I want you to write them down. I want you to pray about it. And I want to ask you to ask God in your time of prayer this week for a divine appointment to invite. What does that do? That puts us in the mind of the Father that we are looking for this opportunity to talk to this prodigal. Now, what will this accomplish? We're doing a series right now called Who's at the Door? Who's at the door? Today it was a prodigal. A prodigal is at the door. Next week, it's going to be Jesus. Next week, we're going to ask the same question again. Who's at the door? It's going to be Jesus at the door. Wouldn't it be a great week? Wouldn't it be a great week if all week long we pray for the one that is far from God so that next week they can hear a message of the gospel and have a choice to choose Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Wouldn't that be great? And to invite them in the fellowship without judging them. We know where they've been. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is, will they accept Jesus and be back in that relationship with Him? Stand with me if you will, please. I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for Floyd and Lorraine again. And then you will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, God, we thank you so much for your presence today. Lord, there is no doubt that you have been with us today, and God, I thank you for that. Lord, this is my prayer. This is my prayer that Jesus, that there is so much of you in here right now, that every single person in here is so filled with your Spirit, that God, that they are just dripping with you. That God, as they move into next week, Lord, that you will sustain them throughout the week. That Lord, that the names that they wrote down, God, I pray for a divine intervention, a divine meeting, Lord. I pray that we would be able to hear testimonies on how they encountered the person who was on their list. And then, Lord, I pray that you will bring them back here next week. That, God, that we will be able to declare without any apology, Lord, who you are in this gospel message, Lord, because you will be the one standing at the door knocking on a heart. God, let that happen, Lord. Please, Jesus, let that happen. Lord, we are quick to give you praise. Lord, again, for Floyd and Lorraine, even right now, God, I pray, Jesus, that in the whisper of Floyd's voice, that God, that he is using the voice that you've given him to draw doctors and nurses closer to you. God, I can tell right now that is a man who loves you and he will not keep quiet. The physical voice may be soft, but he will not keep quiet as to who you are. And so, Lord, I pray that others will come into the kingdom, Lord, and knowing you as our personal Savior because of a witness and a testimony right now, Lord, with Floyd and Lorraine. Be with them, God. Give them peace and calmness, Lord, in this time of uncertainty. And Jesus, we are quick to give you praise. Thank you for the sermon this morning, Lord, in your name. Amen. Thank you, church. You're dismissed. Shake hands with about four or five people on your way out, will you?